Chapter number 8 this evening, 2 Kings chapter number 8, as we continue studying the life of Elisha, and as we now move on into this 8th chapter. Of course, we've spent several weeks over the last several Wednesdays, we've been in chapter number 7. Last week, we took a week off from the life of Elisha, looked at a passage of Scripture with the life of Ezra, and what a blessing that was. And this evening, as we get into chapter number 8, we will see once again that Elisha has an interaction with the woman from Shunem. And you'll remember this woman from Shunem based on our study of 2 Kings chapter number 4 is probably several months ago now, when we studied the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Kings, and we dealt with the ministry of Elisha and how God was working. And of course, he would pass through Shunem, and he would go through there on a somewhat regular basis. The Bible says that he passeth continually through that place. And so the woman at Shunem, she spoke with her husband, and she said, "We need to make a little chamber." And so they had a construction project, and we often refer to a prophet's chamber. We use that terminology, and we really see that it comes from what we see here in 2 Kings chapter number 4. And Elisha had testified of the care in which he received each time he would pass through that place, not only having a place in which to stay, but also the great care in which he received. We find that, of course, through the passage of Scriptures, you interact with the lady at Shunem. You find, of course, that they had no children. And Elisha announces that they'll have a son. And what a wonderful day that must have been. They have a son. And then he's out working with his dad one day in the field, and the boy dies. And, of course, the woman from Shunem, there's no name given. She goes to find the man of God. And Elisha sends Gehazi up ahead, and long story short, that boy is raised from the dead. And then we get into chapter number 5, really the end of chapter number 4 and 5, 6, 7. You don't hear anything about Elisha having any interaction whatsoever with the lady from the woman from Shunem and her family. And now we come to chapter number 8, and the Bible says, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman," notice how it's referred to here, "whose son he had restored to life." So, of course, we know through the description that is given here in verse number 1 as to the woman that God is referring to, that Elisha is going to have this interaction with. Of course, as I've mentioned, there's been a number of events that have transpired over the past few chapters of dialogue that we read in the Word of God. And we don't know exactly how much time has passed. Not only from the last interaction to this, we don't know how much time passed between the end of chapter number 7 and the beginning of chapter number 8. We just know that the dialogue goes into this interaction that is recorded here. We do know that in just a few verses of Scripture, 7 years of famine is covered. And it's amazing how sometimes you can read super lengthy portions of Scripture and there's just a brief amount of time that passes, and other times there's just a couple of verses and several years can pass. And so we find that the Bible says, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. Notice, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." If you're taking notes this evening, "The Lord hath called for a famine." That is the title for the message. Adopt it right from verse number 1. "For the Lord hath called for a famine." It's interesting in the Word of God, as you often will find references to God's, of course, judgment upon His people. And you find that in the Word of God, periods of famine most times are representative of divine judgment. Periods of drought. You remember when we first find Elijah, when we first began the study in 1 Kings chapter number 17 of the life of Elijah, what do you see? He's calling for that drought, right? There's not going to be neither rain nor dew except at my word. And we find that 3.5 years passed. And why? It was the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel. And we find that as we move here into the life of Elisha and we have some understanding of the reign of Jehoram and his wickedness, and we find that the Bible tells us that he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And of course, we dealt with many of those things, but we find that here as we enter into the 8th chapter of the book of 2 Kings, that once again there is divine judgment upon the house of Israel because of their wickedness. I'm thankful that our God is righteous and that He is the righteous judge. And we find that He, in righteousness, indeed executes judgment. And we find that He's given truth throughout the entirety of the Word of God with regard to His hand of blessing and His time of judgment. The reality is that most of us, I think if all of us are in our right minds, we would say that we would much rather have times of blessing than times of judgment. Amen? And but we find that the blessing comes as a result of obedience and honoring the Lord. And so we find here that as we look at the passage of Scripture, I want you to see the declaration of Elisha. The declaration really recorded for us in the first two verses here of chapter number 8, and we see that it's simply this: the Lord hath called for a famine. Not only does He declare that there is a famine that is coming, but we find that He specifies the period of time that that famine would be upon the land. We find that it says that it shall come upon the land 7 years. That's a lengthy period of time. We can look back to the life of Joseph. We don't have time this evening to study all of that, but you can think about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine that are dealt with there in the life of Joseph when he was in Egypt and so on and so forth. And you can read the passages of Scripture, and even in a time when they had purposefully planned during the 7 years of plenty for the famine that would come, if you read the passages of Scripture in the book of Genesis, you can see how difficult that period of famine really was. And we find that as we come here to 2 Kings chapter number 8, we read the declaration of Elisha, we see the power and sovereignty of God. I'm thankful this evening that our God is sovereign, that He is in control of all things. And we find that Elisha's declaration is this: for the Lord hath called for a famine. See, there are some that would like to, of course, deny the existence of God. There are some that would say that God exists, but He's really not in control of anything. He kind of has taken a step back from His creation, if you will. But we understand that our God is intimately involved with the affairs of mankind. We can read throughout the whole of Scripture and we can see the hand of God. You can read a book like the book of Esther, and you can find that though the name of God is not mentioned throughout the 10 chapters of the book of Esther, oh, how you can see the hand of God at work and superseding over the affairs of man. And what a blessing to know that our God is in control, that He is sovereign, that He does have all power. We find that in this declaration that there was some instruction that would be given to the woman from Shunem. We find that the Bible says that then spake Elisha unto the woman. He was faithful to deliver this message to this woman. And he said here, arise and go, notice, thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. It's interesting when we look at the declaration of Elisha here in verse number 1, and you see what he's announced and who he's announced it to, the specifics of that judgment. But it's also interesting to see the response as it recorded in verse number 2. And really what you're seeing is the obedience of this woman and her household. And when you see her response, it seems quite evident that she believed the man of God. Elisha had proven to be a man of God. Elisha had proven that he spoke the word of the Lord. As I've mentioned many times through the life of Elijah, you see him using that terminology with quite regularity, thus saith the Lord. You don't find that quite as often with Elisha, though you find references of it, but you know that he's speaking the word of the Lord. He is a faithful prophet, and when he comes to this woman and he gives this declaration, she immediately responds with obedience. I like that. I believe that's exemplary for us. I believe that there is, within the response of this woman, there is a lesson for each of us to learn on the importance of obedience. And this obedience of this woman was immediate. Consider, she was going to leave everything that she knew. She was going to leave her land. She was going to leave that which was familiar to her. Notice it says, and the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, 7 years is a long time. In some regards, 7 years seems like it just kind of goes by fast. But 7 years, really, this is a long time. And we find that she immediately responds with obedience. It says that she arose and she did after the saying of the man of God. She and her household, and they went and dwelt in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. We see the declaration of Elisha. Notice number two, the discussion with the king. It's amazing as you look at what happens. Again, we find that verse number 2 describes for us her departure from Shunem and her arrival into the Philistines' land. And you come to verse number 3 and it says, "And it came to pass at the end, and it came to pass at the 7 years' end." And so just like that, we've gone right through the 7-year period of famine. We don't know. God doesn't give us all the details of all that happens and so on and so forth. But we do know that the famine has now ended. And so what happens? The woman returns. It says that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. So she returns after 7 years. And the Bible tells us that she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. As I've referred to this as the discussion with the king, we find that she went to make a petition to the king for both her house and her land. And she'd been gone for 7 years, but now she's coming back and she's making this request, this plea, if you will, and she's seeking to have a discussion with the king. But it's interesting because the Bible tells us that though she's interested in having this dialogue, this discussion with the king, that the king is actually in the midst of a discussion already. The king is having a discussion with Gehazi. We've not heard about Gehazi for a lengthy period of time. It was at the end of chapter number 5 when we last heard about Gehazi. Remember, he was the servant of Elisha. And we find that Gehazi was there for many of the miracles that God would perform through Elisha during his earthly ministry. And you find that Gehazi was there and he saw God work. And there in chapter number 5, when you read about the healing of leprosy from Naaman and all of that situation, remember, Gehazi decided that he wanted something. And so he chased after Naaman and the host that came from Syria, and as he returned, he says, "I didn't go anywhere." And of course, he's stricken with leprosy at that point. And the Bible tells us there's actually some interesting division from biblical scholars. Some would say that the events in chapter number 8 would reveal that Gehazi no longer had leprosy. I would disagree with that. And here's why. In the end of chapter number 5 and verse number 27, the Bible says that the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. So I don't believe that he was healed of his leprosy, nor do I believe that the events in chapter number 8 preceded what we read of in chapter number 5. I think this is a proper chronological order of the events in the life of Elisha and that which happens. In fact, when you come to the end of chapter number 8, you really start to see the latter years of Elisha and some of the announcements that he makes. I believe, and I'll just give it to you for further study, if you go back to the book of Leviticus in chapters 13 and 14, you'll find how that the priests were to investigate those that thought they had or did have leprosy, and they were to go through the process of how they would go forth in identifying those individuals, but also in announcing them clean. And if you read the portion of Scripture, if they were completely white with leprosy, they were clean. And so if you look here in 2 Kings 5 and verse 27, it says, "And he went out from his presence a leper white as snow." And it's very interesting as you look at what happens again back in Leviticus. And really, you got to read all of the entirety of both of those chapters. But I'll read one verse for you in Leviticus 13 and verse number 13. It says, "Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean." I love the Bible. You study passage with passage and you interpret the Word of God, and you begin to see that this Gehazi is in the presence of the king. Now, he no longer is the servant of Elisha, but now he's somehow having this discussion with the king, and we find that as he's talking with the king, it's amazing. And again, you see the providence of God. You see the hand of God at work. This woman from Shunem, she had received the message from Elisha. She departs the land because of the famine. She comes back after 7 years, and she desires to have this discussion with the king to make her petition to have her land and her home restored. And as she enters in, she interrupts a discussion that's already taking place between the king and Gehazi. Look at what the discussion is. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, I pray thee." Notice what he asks to know. All the great things that Elisha hath done. Isn't that interesting? The king says, "I want to know about the works of Elisha." The Bible tells us in verse number 5 that it came to pass as he, that's Gehazi, was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life. So he's talking. Now listen, there are many miracles of Elisha. In fact, the Bible records twice as many miracles of Elisha than you find of Elijah, and it seems quite interesting as you think about the double portion and what have you, but we know that there were many, many miracles that God performed through the prophet Elisha, and as this discussion, this conversation is taking place, Gehazi is speaking about how that this dead body was restored to life. It says that, "Behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life, cried to the king for her house and for her land." Isn't that awesome? I mean, just think about the timing, right? I mean, just, we could say from our human perspective, what are the chances? It's not chance, it's providence. And we find here that Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." Isn't that amazing? You think about the timing. Elisha said, "The Lord's called for a famine. You need to get out of here. You and your household, go. Sojourn wheresoever you can sojourn. It's going to be here for 7 years." And she leaves. She obeys the instruction of the man of God. And she goes to the land of the Philistines, and she's there for 7 years, and she returns, and now she's going to make the petition that she could have her home and her land restored. And as she walks in to speak with the king, Gehazi is telling the king about this miracle. And then says, "In fact, that's her." Can you imagine? I mean, it's pretty neat, right? I mean, talk about the proof, the evidence. We see the declaration, we see the discussion. Notice in verse number 6, number 3, the decree of the king. It's interesting as we read verse number 6 that it begins, really, it says, "And when the king asked the woman, she told him." What a nice, simple way to let us know that the account is confirmed. Now, can you imagine being the king? Can you imagine being Gehazi? Can you imagine being the woman? I mean, put yourself in any of the shoes of the people that are there. I mean, to be the woman from Shunem and to show up and to think, man, they were just talking about us. To be Gehazi and had just been sharing with the king about this great miracle, and then here she comes. To be the king and hearing this, and then, man, here's the evidence right in front of me. And so the Bible says that when the king asked the woman, she told him. The account is confirmed. I'm not sure of how much dialogue they had. I'm not sure of what details perhaps the king might have wanted to know. But you remember that on that particular day, as it's recorded for us in 2 Kings chapter number 4, when her son died, the Bible says that she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she then tells her servant, she says that she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said in verse number 23 of chapter number 4, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." And she gets on the, she says that they saddled the ass and said to the servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." And they go quickly to the man of God. And we find that she answered Gehazi and said, it is well. And then we know the account, and we see what happens. And Elisha came into the house in verse 32, and the child was dead. He was upon the bed. And we find that the Bible tells us in verse number 33 that Elisha prayed. He prayed unto the Lord. And then in verse number 36, he calls for the Shunammite, and he said, take up thy son. This is a very account that's being discussed with the king here in 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 4 and 5. We find that this account is confirmed. This was not just some story that Gehazi was telling. This was not some make-believe fairy tale type of thing. No, this was truth of an event that happened. And I'm so thankful that we have the truth of the Word of God. I'm so thankful that we can rehearse the miracles of God, and we can rehearse what God has done in our lives and the lives of others. We can look at the record of God's Word, and we can understand that they are confirmed. These are not fables. They're not stories. So often you hear me use the phraseology, a Bible account. I don't believe it's sinful to use the phraseology, a Bible story, but sometimes when we read stories to our children that are these fairy tale type of stories, and all of a sudden we're going to say, okay, let me tell you a Bible story, sometimes it's difficult for a child to differentiate. This is a Bible account. This is something that happened. And we find that the account is confirmed in verse number 6, and then notice that her request was granted. It's a decree that the king makes. The Bible says, so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. I'm not sure how the discussion would have gone if Gehazi wasn't rehearsing these things to the king. We could speculate. We could sit around and come up with our theories as to how the king would respond to this woman, whether he would just dismiss her from his presence or what he would do. But you find that this woman was obedient to the man of God, to the declaration that was made with regard to the famine. And God, no doubt, had instructed Elisha to deliver this message to the Shunammite woman. And she believes and she responds in obedience and she leaves. And now when she returns and makes her petition for her home and her land to be restored, we find that the Lord's timing being perfect, and these events just as they are, and the king makes this decree. He sends an officer and says, restore. Notice what he says. Restore all that was hers. Notice, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. What a blessing. What a great result. We see through these six verses, we're reminded of the power of God. We're reminded of His sovereignty, that He is in control of the affairs of mankind. And the reality this evening is that the woman could ask 105 questions about why she should leave, where she should go, what she should do, what's going to happen to my house, what's going to happen to this. What she could ask all those questions. But she just obeyed. She just obeyed. And this evening, we learned valuable lessons from this account in Scripture. We learned the lesson of obedience. We learned the lesson of trusting the Lord and knowing that He is able to do even what we might not see happening. I'm not sure what her expectations were leading into that discussion. Sometimes we make a request expecting to be denied, right? Because our faith is little. I'm not sure what her expectation was going into it. But all I can say is that as I look at this passage of Scripture, I am reminded that God's timing is perfect. And what a blessing to be able to see these types of accounts and to be encouraged in our own walk with God on the importance of following God and obeying God and seeing God work as only God can work. This evening we see the Lord hath called for a famine. God's aware of the things that take place within the affairs of mankind. God is not far off in a distant land somewhere where He's unaware of those things that are happening. He's a gracious, merciful God. He's long-suffering. But we find that He is a righteous God. He is the righteous judge. And this passage begins with the announcement of that judgment. The Lord hath called for a famine. In a time such as that, you are reminded of the importance to turn your attention to the Lord, to consider your ways. You find the prophets often said, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And how important it is, even as we live in such a time. I mean, when you look at a global pandemic, I know it's not a famine, but if you deny that God is in control and that He is over these things, you can see God's hand. Listen, it is time for man to seek the Lord. I disagree 100% with what some of the folks in our nation have said. There have been some, I won't name names, there have been some that have been on public television said this is beyond the power of God. Baloney. God's in control of all things. It's amazing how just a little tiny virus could cause such a global situation. Oh, that man would turn their eyes upon the Lord. See, we're dealing with something that pales in comparison to what will happen during the tribulation. You read the book of Revelation. You read all of those judgments, 21 of them. I mean, it's going to be serious. This evening, in the time in which this Shunammite was living, there was going to be a famine. The Lord had called for a famine. Righteous judgment. She obeyed the Lord, and she was divinely protected. Can you imagine that? In the land of the Philistines. There's a whole other message we could develop right there. But she was divinely protected by God. And then she comes back, the timing is perfect, and she's restored all of her things. Isn't that amazing? We serve a great God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to take care of His own. Amen? And we trust Him and we follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You this evening. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your Word, the truth contained therein. I pray, God, that You'd encourage our hearts tonight. Help us to be mindful of the fact that You indeed care for Your own, that You're able, no matter the circumstances, to take care of us as Your children, and for that we rejoice. We thank You that You have all resources. Lord, we look forward to the day in which we'll be able to spend eternity with You. We are looking for the return of the Lord. We know that it draweth nigh. God, I pray that You'd help us to be faithful and obedient to You. Thank You for the testimony of the Shunammite. Thank You for the faithfulness of Elisha. Lord, I pray that You would use us. Help us to glorify Thee in our lives, and we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me just give you a few announcements.